We're up to Simon Shin Yud Siv Ches. We're going to complete Be'ezer Hashem, the Simon, as well as starting Simon Shin Yud Aleph. Siv Ches is telling us about something which has got Tovahed and Dovo also. Let us see, this is a concept that we've discussed previously. Kli Shiyesh Alav Dovo Osso V'Dovo Muta. A Kli which has got on it something which is a permitted item on Shabbos and a non-permitted item on Shabbos. The example given is Muta L'Tal, you're allowed to move it. So that is the bosses of Dova Heta and a Dova Osso. A Kli which holds Muta and Issa simultaneously going. The example given is actually a very interesting example. It's a Machta, which is a pan, a burning pan, which means that on it you'd have a burning pan. What happened was that people have ash. Ashes would be very useful and important and used on Shabbos. Remember, until 100 years ago, it was the norm to have an earthen floor. Any house, you'd have an earthen floor. Maybe 120 years in some places. 100 years, and would have a very, would be earth. Now, the way, so obviously, if there would be any dirt or anything, you can't, well, the most common way of removing or seeing to dirt or to anything that was, you'd cover it with some ashes. You'd cover it up. Anything that would be dirty, you'd cover it up with some ashes. Now, so what would be done is that it would pan, they would have some ashes available, which was prepared before Shabbos, and those piles of ashes would be available for you to use on Shabbos. And since they were designated before Shabbos for being used on Shabbos, don't be mukta at all. You've got pile of ash, and you'd be using that for Shabbos, and that's fine. Now you've got this pan as well, which would be used for like shoveling the ash and spreading it in the house. That you could do that. No reason why not. Any reason why not? Taking a bit of ash and then, you know, you spilled orange juice. It's all over the earth. You want to cover it up. So you take some ash from the side. You've got prepared ash. So you take a pan, which was used for burning those ashes. You take it and then you just sprinkle it over it. And then it's done and dusted. Very literally, done and dusted. Maybe that's where the expression comes from, I wonder. So with that, that's fine. Any reason why not? Mukta, not mukta. No problem, right? Oh, so it's afshaguma. Potentially, would be a problem if you're actually making it smooth. For sprinkling, so Shulchan Aruch is telling us as follows: Kli sheish bolov dova osa v'dova muta muta letaltiloi. So if you've got an item, a keli, which holds tova osa and tova muta, you're allowed to move it around. Kigoin, such as a machte, which is a burning pan. You've got eifa on it. You've got some ash or earth on it, which is muta to move around. Lechasa is boi roik, to cover up roik. Saliva, spit, or tzoya, you need to cover it up. V'yesh alei gamkin shivrei eitzim. Now, those burnt ash or this burnt earth that you have, this burnt earth or ash that you've got, is of importance. It's got value because that's what you're going to use for covering up. But there's also a little piece of wood inside it. Little pieces like little pricks, Yeah, it's like that kind of toothpicks, but like just branches, which have no much to LS. You don't really need them. You'd rather do without them. You'd want pure ash, pure earth to cover up. You don't really need little pieces of wood sticking out. That's not really what you want. But there is also, within that pile, there's also some little pieces of wood there as well sticking up. You just didn't see it through thoroughly, and there is those around. So that's something which is called, that's mukta, those, because they have no use. And they're mukta. Those pieces of wood are mukta, as opposed to the rest of the pile. Those pieces of wood are also betiltul. You are allowed to, if you put this ash in this pan, and there is pieces of wood inside it as well, you're allowed to move around and that pan. Why? Because it's a bosis for dover mutter, which is actual ash, and dover osu, which is the pieces of wood. So that's a bosis, the dover mutter, the dover osu, and we learned that a bosis, the dover osu, the dover mutter, his mutter betiltul. Kigoyin shdover mutter, choshim dover osu. Now, so it's again, mutter letaltel amachtik, because you're allowed to move around the machter, this pan. For kigoyin shdover mutter, choshim dover osu. Now, tells the Shulchan Aruch a very important yisoid, and that's a rule that we need to remember for all the lichs mukta, bosses. He says, when did we say that a bosses is mutter to be moved around when we have got isan hetzer? We said, the rule that we learned, now for numerous shiurim, we learned that a bosses, the dover mutter, the dover also is mutter betilto. Correct, that's what we learned. Now, what happens though, if you have got, there's two different values. If it's the same, same value. What happens if the dover osu is more valuable than the dover mutter? So, say for argument's sake, you've got in this burning pan, you've got the ash which you want to use. But besides that, you know what ended up there as well? Banknotes ended up there as well. It happens to be that in the pile you found a £50 note, a couple of them. In fact, a pile of them, which are probably mukta. Now the halacha is, would you say that in my pan I've got ash, which is mutter, and I've got banknotes, which is also, or for that matter, a golden pen, which is also mukta, also betiltul. I've got now bosses, the dover also and a dover mutter. Are you going to say it's mutter to move it around? Very good. Oh, very good. Yeah, very nice example. Very good. So we're learning now a rule. We're learning a rule that when do we say that bosses is mutter, if it's a dover mutter and a dover also, that's only if the mutter has got more value than the issa. In the case that I just mentioned earlier, that you're talking about banknotes or golden pen which ends up in the pile of ash, there we're not going to say that it's a bosses, dover mutter and dover also, which is mutter betiltul. No. Because the also is more valuable than the heter, and therefore it's also betiltul. Yeah.
What I thought possibly contradict this, that if you had a table with silver candlesticks and a siddur on, it could be moved.
Yes, that's what we say.
Now, the siddur, of course, is of far more value from the ruchnius point of view.
Yes, very good.
Very nice.
Yeah, very good. It's a good question. That's a very, very, very good question. That's a very, very good question. The answer is the truth that some people will be makpid to dafka put a becher there for that very reason. Some people will be makpid to put a silver kois instead of a siddur because of precisely what we just mentioned now. The ones who are makel and they will put a siddur there, they will claim, and that's, I think, a very common minig, a lot of people will put a siddur there, they will claim that a siddur also has a lot of value. We're not going to be too picky now to say, okay, this is worth £1,000, that's £50, and that's, we're not going to be too picky. We look at it, has it got a basic value? Yes, it does. Does this have also basic value? We're not, it's true, of course, Shabbos candles are far more valuable than a siddur, but they both have intrinsic value. So whilst indeed there's a difference, but it's true still to say, this has got value, and this has got value, and therefore it's still considered bosses, dover, mutter, and dover also. But indeed, that's why a lot of people will be makpid, others will be makpid, and dafka put a becher there, because they will claim that both silver and that's more straightforward. But it's a valid point. So in this case, we're talking about over here, if you've got
why is ash mutter?
Because it's designated in advance specifically for being used on Shabbos, and therefore it is clearly mutter. Again, we don't use this. We're not so familiar with that because we don't have so much ash in our house. But hopefully, until 150 years ago, people would have piles of it on the side. So, kugoyin shdava mutter b'choshev mitava also. If the dava mutter is far more valuable than dava also, havelim dava also choshev yoisim mitava mutter. But if the dava also has got more value than dava mutter, bottle etzlo becomes bottle. V'also letaltol it's also to be carried around. It is also, that's important. I think at times we forget this halacha, and it's important to remember it. Fatam et atil tulzah, and the reason why this is muta, why bosses, which has got of a mutant of also, his muta to move around, mishum dola efshal minket kitm lechudei, it's impossible just to take out this little stick of wood. It's got no, you can't just take it out. Hafili shodi leile me'amachte, me'amachte, you can't just take it out, and therefore it becomes a bosses for hota et and muta. Hoyim tzorich lemoka me'amachte, fimeino tzorich leguf amachte, what happens if you just need the pan? Do you know what? You just need the pan because you need it for something else. You don't need the ash inside it, and you don't need the stick of, you don't need the piece of wood there either. All you need is the actual pan. What would you recommend? What would you do?
Maybe put something
mutter on it. Yeah, this is much easier than that. Oh, very good. That's what we learned earlier. Loi tal talenu kumoshi. If you just need a pan, don't take it now with the ash inside it, with the sticks of wood inside it. Don't bother taking it like this. Elo, but rather the way we learned earlier. Hinairo eifa, shake it out. Veshivo eitzim emkoimam. Vitalamachti, just move it all out. It's going to fall out. And then you've got the pan on its own. And you can move it around. We learned earlier you can shake things out. That's fine. Do you remember we spoke about tilting and shaking things, mukta items out? You can do that here as well. V'chein im yochel enayir ha'isa l'chod, if you could just shake out the wooden sticks, that's fine as well. Hinarelim v'lo italtlenim ha'at, if you could just shake out the wooden sticks, that's fine. Not sure why there's no boir on it, but for some reason it seems to be fine to shake out just the isa out. V'kol zol ha'mayir ha'lashoyo heterim ha'isa m'boidyoim, avol imo yo isa alov m'levad. But if you only had the sticks of wood which are mukta, only those were in the pan before Shabbos, loy ma'anim ha'sheniach etz la'heter b'Shabbos. You obviously can't make something a possesses lo heter mutter on Shabbos. So the example would be if you had Shabbos candles on it, on the table on Shabbos, and you forgot to put a becher there. What would you say? Can you put a becher or a siddur on it one Shabbos, like on Shabbos morning, because you want to move the table now?
No.
You can't. Very good. That's the halacha we're learning now. The Rava says, once you've had it, you've had it. Once something becomes a possesses when Shabbos comes in, after Ben Hashmos, you cannot change its status. You cannot change its status. So if you've got something on the table, what could be another example? You forgot a tape recorder on the table. You forgot the mobile phone on the table. There was nothing else on it. There was nothing else on the table on Shabbos. Absolutely nothing else. All there was a mukta mobile phone, and it was left on the table. And now you want to make, oh, and then a half an hour into Shabbos, you realize, oh no, I want to move the table for whatever the reason is. I cannot now place on Shabbos additional items. I need to make the table now into a bosset of a heter as well. It doesn't work. It's too late. You've had it. Now it becomes mukta. You can put a million things on the table, which are even far more valuable than the mukta, but it's too late. It's already bosset of a also, and that's it. You're not going to change the status. See if Tess, table sheesh lo dover mutter letaltel vemois. If you've got a box that has dover mutter letaltel vemois, there was heter items on it and coins. If vemois and ikke, if the coins were not of particular importance, mutter letaltel, you're allowed to move it around. Kmoishi, the way it is, al piatnum shen isbaru memachto. So if you've got coins and heter, here again we're going to say, look at what's the most important. If the most important item is the heter, you're going to say the box is bosset dover heter lo dover mutter, and it's going to be moved. You're going to be allowed to move out. Of course, if the coins are far more value than the other items, then the plastic cup that was there, or the glass cup, you've got, you know, very loads of money, banknotes there, and some non-important, then the box is going to become bosset dover isa only. But if you've got a bit of a few pound coins there, and you've got a dover mutter on its side, and then here again we're going to say that becomes a bosset dover heter dover mutter, and looking at the more important item, it's going to be mutter therefore to carry around. Okay, this is Simon Shin Yud. Moving on to Simon Shin Yud Aleph, I want to say, Rabbi Frankel, can you help me with the... Do you manage finding more?
No.
Oh, can I have a look at it? Very good, Shkach. Thank you very much. I appreciate your assistance in this matter. This is Gemara. It tells about Moshe Rabbeinu, not Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech. Where is it? Over here in the bottom? That's where it is, yeah. Oh, very good. The Gemara tells us of David HaMelech. Finding out from, thank you so much, Rabbi Fangel, for helping finding this Gemara. I couldn't find it earlier. David HaMelech asked one thing from Ribbono Shlom. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Ribbono Shel Olam, Odieni Hashem Kitzi. Hashem, please, can you tell me when I'm going to be Nifta? David HaMelech, for some reason, wants to know why. I don't know why he wanted to know, but he was very keen to know. Hashem, please tell me when is Kitzi, at the end of my days. It was David HaMelech's request. HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, that's something I can't tell you. There's some things which are not going to be revealed. And one of the things is when you're going to be Nifta. And I can't tell you when you're going to be Nifta. And it's very interesting. It's a decree that I will never let a person know when he's Nifta. Which is contrary to quite a lot of stories. Have you heard stories of Tzaddikim? They knew when they're going to be Nifta? Pardon? But definitely there's many achronim who stories go. Have you heard stories of tzaddikim knowing when they're going to be? Yeah. I mean, I can say one little short story about my grandfather. My grandfather was a balabos. He was not a. But a couple of days before his nifta, was very, very weak. He asked my mother, Langsunten Stark. He asked. She just bought some clothes, and he asked her to. He was very weak, but he asked her, just the mamash a couple of days before he was nifta. Asked her, My mother told him that she bought some clothes, so he said that, can you bring it? He wasn't already in hospital. He said, can you bring it? I want you to wear it. And I said, no, you're not very strong now, you're not very good. Why should I wear it? And he insisted on her wearing it. He absolutely insisted on her wearing it. He said, no, I'll wear it another time. I said, no, he said, you need to wear it. I wanted to wear it before Wednesday or whatever. I need to wear it. And she, of course, she didn't want to argue with him because he didn't have so much koicha. So she just, the next day she came and she wore it. And she went once, and after she, the following day was Nifta. So obviously, it must be that he realized that. So when they say, I'm saying, the stories about many tzaddikim, it's the people, people knew, achronim, if you heard stories of people. So, but the Gemara says, mamash the opposite, Gemara says, gzeirim l'fona she'en moedin kitza shel bosav adam. You can't know when a person is. But David HaMelech wanted to know. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, one thing I can tell you. I can't tell you when I'm going to be, but I can tell you it's going to be on a Shabbos. That I can tell you. You're going to be in your nift on a Shabbos. Fine. So David HaMelech then said, okay, fine. Thanks for that. And then he knew also, there was another rule, he knew that when a person learns Torah, a person can't, Malach HaMavis doesn't have control, doesn't have shlit of a person if he learns Torah. As long as a person learns Torah, nothing can happen to a person. So therefore, when Shabbos came in, a second Shabbos came in, David HaMelech started learning, he didn't stop, without Smodim Ruba, without any interruption, he learned Torah without, he knew that Malach HaMavis cannot have any, and he learned about Smodov and when Shabbos came in until Shabbos went. But the Malach HaMavis was getting, he went like this once, twice, I don't know how many Shabboses, Malach came to the point Malach HaMavis wanted, was taking the time ready for David HaMelech to go into the next world, because he was ready, as the Gemara says, he was time ready for Shlomo HaMelech to take over. David HaMelech's days were finished, and Malach HaMavis was getting a bit edgy there, you know, he was saying, okay, that's time has come, Malach HaMavis wanted to get him, yes, business, absolutely, yes, it was time to come for David. Yeah, absolutely, very much. Yeah, so he said, it's getting, now time has come. He said, David HaMelech, so he didn't know what to do. It's the whole Shabbos. He was like waiting for, there's a rule that it's axiomatic that he cannot get David as long as he's learning Torah. Couldn't do anything about it. By the way, Chofetz Chaim asked the question, what about Shabbos meals? And Chofetz Chaim says, it's not in the Sefer, but it's brought down from Talmidim. What do you tell about Shabbos meals? Oh, very good. That's Chofetz Chaim says that. Chofetz Chaim says that if a person, it's very interesting. He said, Chofetz Chaim said that if a person eats a Shabbos meal, it's considered, it's got the same. David HaMelech ate Shabbos meals regular. Of course, he sang and he said, but the fact that he was eating meal, then also, Malach HaMavis cannot have sleep there. It's very interesting. Sleeping? Yeah, no, he obviously didn't sleep. Must be David HaMelech didn't sleep on Shabbos. Yeah, and he must have. So finally, he was getting ready, and the Malach HaMavis was saying, okay, what's going on here? I need to get him. So it was getting a bit. So he said, okay, one thing. He went out, the Malach HaMavis went on the set. There was a tree growing next to David HaMelech's palace. He climbed up, he was he was making a lot of noise. The branches on the branch of the tree. And then that somehow got David HaMelech, Gemara says that he was shocked, or he wants to know what's going on over here. And then as soon as, David leaned out and he checked what's that noise coming in, but then he stopped learning. And that was it. And then he fell down and that was, that's the expression, comes from there. He stopped learning. And the second he stopped learning, Malach HaMavish was able to take him, and that's when David HaMelech died. When somebody's learning,
yeah.
It looks like when somebody's learning, Malach HaMavish cannot die. Whilst the person is learning, it appears the person cannot die. It looks like a person can't die. That's what it looks like from the Gemara. But it's quite difficult. I mean, it must be that David HaMelech literally stopped for seconds, and that's when he died. But as long as a person dies, it seems that a person, when a person dies, not so when a person davens, a person cholila could, but when a person is learning, Torah, this needs to be understood as well, needs to be thought about. Why is that when a person learns Torah, a person cannot die? There must be a deeper reason for it. But what the Gemara says, as long as a person dies, David HaMelech died, Malach HaMavish couldn't take him. I suppose it's always absolutely. That's exactly what happened to David HaMelech. Yeah. By the way, this is why David HaMelech died on Shabbos during Shalosh Shudas times, and that's in the afternoon, Shabbos afternoon. That's when he stopped. That's when he died, and that's why on Shalosh Shudas we refer to David HaMelech, the Mizmor David, and we speak about David HaMelech extensively. That's David HaMelech was. Pardon? He did nefesh. I do not know. But we certainly make reference in Shalosh Shudas numerous times to David HaMelech. And then David HaMelech was nifted. Then there was a bit of a dilemma there because he didn't know what to do. David HaMelech was nifted, and it was a dead body, and David HaMelech Shlomo, his son, didn't know what to do. He got his father dead, and he didn't know, can he move him, cannot move him, he didn't know what to do. Shlomo HaMelech got into a panic. He lost his father, the king of Israel, and he didn't know what, he got into a panic, and he says, Meis, he ran into Beis Medrash. Shlomo HaMelech said, he lost all the halachas that he ever knew. He said, Meis, he says, Shlomo HaMelech ran into Beis Medrash. Abba Meis, my father died. Humutl Bechamo. He said, he's lying in the sun over here. The klovim shall base Abu Avim, and his dog's going to start licking him and eating him, and I don't know what to do. It's Shabbos, I can't touch him, he's Mukta, but there's dogs around, and it's burning hot, you know, this is Yerushalayim, and I don't know what to do. And then the Talmid Chachamim then answered, do you know what you could do? There's actually, there's a halachas about the meis, you could actually give him, put something on it, on the meis, put something on the, put a loaf of bread on the meis, And then you could move him. You could put and that's a heter to put a heter on a mace, and then you could move him. You can move him. So that's a heter that was brought down, and that's like who did, and Levi would. Very good. Can you move the mace? Very good. So this is the absolute valid question, and this is the key question. Your key question is absolutely the key and essential rule and yisrael that is going to be discussed in this shem. We're going to be learning Hasim in Shin Yud Aleph. The locha is dinei meis b'shabbes b'shar tiltul min atzad. What's exactly with the dinei meis b'shabbes? What's the halacha of a meis on Shabbos? And can you move him? And the head of tiltul min atzad, which is the head that I was referring to now. A short story about this before we're going to start learning it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But I want to just tell you an interesting. So I'm not superstitious at all. I don't claim to be, and I just have an interesting episode to refer about this siman over here. It's an interesting halacha, an interesting story. I mean, I heard this not first hand, but nearly first hand. There's a very very famous chavusa in Eretz Yerushalayim. I'm going to refrain from saying the name, but you all know them. Two very famous Talmid Chacham. This story goes back 20, 30 years. And a very famous two Talmid Chachamim who learned bechavusa regularly. And they were both Rosh Yeshivas, Mabitze Torah, but they had a kviyas to learn halacha together. And they learned halacha, and they were going through all the halachas, the tefillah, the brachas, the shabbos, and everything. But then they came to hit Siman Shin Yud Aleph. They learned Siman Shin Yud Aleph. They came to Siman Shin Yud Aleph, and they said, you know, actually, Siman Shin Yud Aleph might not be so relevant. It's about a mace on Shabbos, I can remove it. This guy said, no, it's not so relevant. Tevemes on Shabbos, and how can you move him, not move him? It's not really relevant for an average person. To what extent can you move, not move? Cholilem is on the Shvisten, Bam, Inon, Ames on Shabbos. Can you move, can you not move? How can you move an Iftar? How can you, it's not particularly relevant. And it's sad that, you know what, it's not relevant. We've talked that they want to learn fast and speed. Two massive time of the Chomim. I'm telling you, know them. And then he said, you know what, we're going to skip this. We're going to skip this Simon. We're going to skip this Simon. Because they wanted to get to Simon Shin Yud Gimel and then Shimon Yudalet and Tezvav and whatever. And they decided to skip it. You will not believe it. You will not believe it, but this is a true statement I'm making. That the one of them, the next few weeks later, his very close relative, I don't know if it was his father, his mother, or something like that, was Niftan. He needed to know, it was Dafka on Shabbos. And for the circumstances, it happened to be that he needed to know those halachas. Which was a Simon Shemaim, you know, you shouldn't have skipped that. Don't skip. And the other person also had a few months later, also Barminon, Cholila, he had also very similar circumstances. I need to know those halachas. And they both publicized these stories. You know, don't skip if you think it's not relevant. Pes Hashem, it should never be relevant. But it was just the point that they were making is about not skipping. If one is learning in a certain consistency, so don't skip. So this is that interesting story that I want to share. But just to be mesayim with davar tov, instead of to finish off with something good, the halacha is that going back to the story of David HaMelech, the what is brought down in the Mefarshim over there is that David HaMelech was nifta. But the Gemara says that the Gemara there says that it was only nifta because Shlomo HaMelech was ready. It was the time of Shlomo HaMelech had come already. David HaMelech's time had come and Shlomo HaMelech's time was followed already. So that teaches us that Hashem would never have left us without appropriate gdolim and rulers and authority. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu have left us David HaMelech being Nifta, and 2 weeks later, 2 months later, 2 years later, to have a son who can take over. It wouldn't be a minute without Klal Yisrael having leaders. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu only took David HaMelech's life because Shlomo HaMelech was ready to take over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never going to leave us. Ein Do Yosem, Klal Yisrael is always going to have us the right Dolim leading us and guiding us. And this is what comes out from the Gemara as well. Good evening, Abba Yisrael.